Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And thank you very much, Brian. That was Brian Brown, who is the creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian developed the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less. And he invariably always offered much, much more. We do miss him every day. So today I'm going to introduce the Brieflies again. You know, we were hoping that Bruce was going to be able to join us. But you know what? It astounds me, actually. The last 2 weeks, Bruce Hallman, our guardian of the galaxy and historian here on the island, is down in Australia. And it amazes me that he was here, clear as a bell. Voice, you know, was clear. Picture was clear. It was amazing to me to think of that. But anyway, Bruce doesn't look like he's going to be able to join us today. But also zooming in is from his home here on Vachon up above Burton is Kevin Jones, the skipper of the Opus, a Camino troll, the intrepid cruiser to points north of Puget Sound to Johnstone Straits. Kevin is also the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group. Our indefatigable defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseas by a government that we can appreciate or at least tolerate. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Truman. Good morning, gang. We're defending away as we speak. And good thing Bruce in the Southern Hemisphere, you know, they only get like 2 months of his time.
I know.
He has to really apply it with conviction.
Absolutely. And we do miss having him here. Of course, sitting next to me right here in the downtown studio, the Gene Bosch broadcast studio, is my wingmate and fellow treetop aficionado, arbitrator, mediator, two-time Fulbright scholar, high-end women's shoe salesman, my favorite part of his intro, tow truck repo man, Pinkerton guardian of the first Boeing 747 at, where was it, United?
It was at Pan Am.
Pan Am in San Francisco, as I remember.
Yep.
A tort law professor and Washington State Assistant Attorney General. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. You know, I don't know if Bruce has made the transition over to New Zealand yet. Remember, he makes that. He's probably down there practicing his haakas, slapping
true.
His thighs and chests and
chest
whatnot.
And all. Yeah. I am Truman O'Brien. I'm behind the big red switch here on the Gene Bosch broadcast studio. I'm a former airline pilot and also a treetop landing aficionado with Craig, flight instructor, airport commissioner, and I'll tell you about West Texas devotee and a former military intelligence specialist. Oh, boy. That's another story. That's another story altogether. Joining us in the studio today, boy, we are thrilled to have Amy Dreyer back with us.
Good morning.
So tell us, she is, of course, the executive director of the Vachon Chamber of Commerce, and I guess I could go on with a number of other accolades, but a graduate right here in 1995?
That's right, proud pirate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, she was in my daughter's class. Mm-hmm. They knew each other. That's just, I think, pretty cool to know that. And she's going to be telling us all kinds of stuff here, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's your choice whether it's true or false, but I'll just tell it to you.
Do we get to vote?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to become a regular briefly, it's probably not true.
Yeah.
And for now, you know, we do not have a fact checker, but
that's right.
We could challenge the system. We could move in that direction.
We could move that
the
way.
The island is a fact checker, I tell you what. You
yeah,
put something out there, the island will let you know.
Isn't that the truth?
And a rumor creator as well.
That's right. That's right. So, hey, before we get going here, Kevin, what's up with you this week?
Hey, I got out on the water in a different way this week. joined the Vashon Rowing Club for a little bit of on the water expedition. And, you know, it was one of those days, you know, last week where, you know, the rain was just thundering down, the atmospheric river was coming in. And I'm like laying in bed, like, really?
Do I really want to do this? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm driving out to the Jensen Point Boathouse thinking, you know, maybe there'll be, you know, somebody, some other crazy people are out here. There's like 20 cars. You know, and the boathouse is full of people. And there were four boats on the water. And, you know, they said, and I agree, I get it now. It's like once you get on the water, you know, the rain doesn't really matter. You're, you know, you're in the water, you're under the water, you're working out, you're getting a good row around Quartermaster Harbor. So, yeah, just don't worry about the rain. Just, you know, keep rowing and keep the boat upright.
How cool is that? Well, yeah, I commend you. I think that's an amazing accomplishment. It's more than I'm willing to do, I can assure you. So, Craig, how about you? What's going on with you?
Well, I had one interesting day, Saturday. Okay. Saturday, I started out the day. We had just got our floors refinished.
Yeah.
So now they're all very slick.
Oh.
And I was trying to go down into the basement, and there's six steps to the basement, and I decided to slide right off the top edge of the stairs. And sort of bang my way down the six and chewed up my forearms and my shoulders and my back and the whole nine yards. But I was able to get it together long enough to go to the Burn Supper, which was held at the Coop this year, and had a great time there with the Parade of the Haggis and the wonderful entertainment that...
I saw, was it John Burke that was addressing the Haggis?
John Burke was doing he does that every year. He addresses the Haggis, and he does it with gusto.
I'm sure.
When he pulls out the knife and the sword, and it's remarkable. Oh, boy. So that was those were the highlights of my week right there.
That sounds fantastic. And you're recovered. I see you're walking.
I'm still moving, you know. Ibuprofen goes a long way.
There you go. So, Amy, how about you? What's happening with you this week, other than official stuff?
Yeah, no. Well, there's always official stuff. We did have our annual member meeting this morning, which was exciting, where we shared hopes and dreams for 2024. That was good. But I'm just getting my feet back on the ground here on the Rock. I was in Denver for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yep, home with my wife, which was awesome. It was nice to get back and have a little time together and share the holidays together. And then we did go on vacation. We went to Kauai, and I still miss the chickens. I came back to Vashon, and I was like, I need my roadside chickens. It's just not getting it done for me. But yeah, that was really lovely. But you know you love a place when you come back to January in the Pacific Northwest from Kauai and think, what a great place.
Oh, yeah.
So lucky to live here. Oh, yeah. How beautiful are the trees covered in moss and, you know, the quiet winter water and the mist over the harbor, you know? So I think I was like, oh, I must be in the right place then.
Spoken like a true Northwesterner, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Well, I'm actually going to Texas tomorrow. I'm going to be gone for just about 4 days, going down to see my cousin. He's 7 months younger, and I got a birthday coming up here next month, so I'm kind of thinking about, well, you know, kind of getting pretty old here. I better go visit some folks to make sure I can still see him, you know, one of these days. But I had an exciting week, to say the least. So we had the big freeze here a couple of weeks ago, right? And and then now the freeze is over. And my cousin is over going to put some water in the horse troughs, and she opens a valve outside. And my wife says, gosh, it sounds like there's water running downstairs. And I said, oh, yeah, that's the faucet running outside. I can hear it running, you know, which you can hear in the house, you know, water running. And I didn't pay much attention to it. About 15 or 20 minutes goes by, and I hear our sump pump come on in the basement. And I went, wait a minute, that's not right. So I go downstairs, I walk into 2 inches of water in the basement floor, and I look up and water is cascading over the two electrical panels which supply the house. And I'm thinking, this could be bad. You know,
I'm ankle deep in water.
Exactly.
This is just about to get exciting.
This could be bad. And so I spun around and shut the water off right away because there happened to be a valve right there close by. And then promptly went out and rented a wet vac and sucked up 4.5 gallons of water off the floor and rented the fans and, you know, anyway. So it was quite an adventure. Got the valve replaced. So what had happened was I have these frost-free valves, which are wonderful tools. But if you leave a hose connected to one that goes up so that the whole thing stays full of water, and it gets below about 18 degrees or so, guess what? Split the pipe.
Oof.
So that was my excitement for the week. So, hey, before we get into stuff here, today is the 30th. 336 days left since it's a leap year in 2024. 280 days until the general election on November 5th, which is kind of a major thing. Today is National Croissant Day. National Escape Day, and I have no idea what that is.
That's pronounced croissant.
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 Mm-hmm. Eh. I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, and it's also National Inane Answering Message
there
Day.
You go.
So that's pretty.
That's going to come in handy at the chamber. I'm going to tell you what. Today is our day at the Chamber of
Commerce. That's it. All right. So, hey, some important things. 1933, President Paul von Hindenburg appoints Adolf Hitler as Reich Chancellor of Germany, who formed a government with Franz von Papen. In 1948, Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated in the garden of a New Delhi home he was visiting. If any of you have seen the movie, it is absolutely riveting. Ben Kingsley. By the way, did you guys see that? You saw the movie?
Gandhi, yes.
With Ben Kingsley? You know, when he was filming that, people were coming up and kissing his feet because he was Gandhi. You know, I thought that was... He was blown away by it. I thought that was pretty interesting. 1956, Elvis Presley recorded his cover version of Carl Perkins' song, Blue Suede Shoes. And when I was about 8 or 9, I had a pair of blue suede shoes because I was in a wedding. And I was lighting the candles in the wedding. And I dripped wax on one of those blue suede shoes.
Oh, no.
That's the fin. That's the end.
It was the end. I was destroyed, man. I couldn't believe it. Because the song was popular.
Don't do that to your new blue coat.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Your new blue Filson coat.
Filson coat. Yeah, no worries. No worries there. What else? Oh, 1968, the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese launched the Tet Offensive against the South Vietnamese and U.S. forces, and that was about 2 months after I left Vietnam. My unit got hit pretty good. They had a rocket attack. And I'll tell you an interesting thing about that. A rocket came through an open window and lodged in a locker, an upright locker, and didn't explode. Mm. And so they had to have EOD come out and, you know, take the thing out. But more importantly, a rocket blew up outside and a piece of shrapnel came flying in. And a good buddy of mine, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, was in his bunk and he had a blanket over the top of his mosquito net. And that piece of shrapnel lodged in his blanket, which kept it from hitting him. And that guy in 1969 was at the Beatles' final performance when they played for 42 minutes on top of the roof of the Apple Corporation's headquarters in London. Wow. He happened to be walking by. That guy that luckily got missed by that piece of shrapnel was walking down the street and heard that. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Quite a guy. Okay, hey, that's all the things that are fit to print today. Amy, Executive Director of Ashland Chamber of Commerce. Amy, the last time you were on the Brown Briefly was December 5th of last year, right before the holidays. And we all basically survived the holidays. So what can you tell us about, first of all, about that, the holidays event? I mean, I want to hear a follow-up on the candy canes.
On the candy canes?
Yeah, you were talking about what happened with them that... They were starting to get kind of ratty, but they were real Vashon-centric, so.
Yeah, no, I think the candy canes are going to make it another year. The Eagles always do a great job at refurbishing them and, you know, keeping them alive. And I would love to see year over year, you know, maybe buy one new candy cane and retire the one that that needs to be retired kind of deal. Just gently turn over our candy cane inventory. But I feel committed to keeping candy canes for sure. Yeah. And I did just notice, have to talk with our friends who, so obviously PSE does a lot of work, right? And they are the major player in getting the candy canes up, and Schaefer Specialty Landscaping and the Eagles. But there's a lone wreath left across from the Ace Service Center.
Oh, yeah.
Still bringing some holiday cheer. So that it's time for that wreath to go home, for sure. But no, the holidays were great. Winterfest was spectacular. You know, we kind of changed the order of operations for the parade and are ending right here at the Presbyterian Church with the big tree lighting. And I think that was really successful. Folks really loved that. So I think we're going to look at doing that year over year and have that tree be our big community tree, and look at, you know, can we get even more lights on that tree? Can we make Santa an even bigger deal? Can we get even more lit vehicles in the lit vehicle parade? It will be the lit tractor parade, but hey, let's get a dump truck in there.
Yeah.
You know, like what else can we throw some Christmas lights on and parade down the street?
Get some of those folks that are involved at the stupid bike night, you know. I mean, come on. Yeah, you know, those guys are incredibly creative. Mm-hmm. So they need to get involved.
We could renew the tradition of having a hay truck driven, you know, led by horses like we had for many, many years the island, with Doc Easley doing U-turns and 360s in the middle of the road and scaring the heck out of everybody, thinking that those giant shires were going to take it right into the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Kevin.
I'll have to say on that idea, Amy, about retiring the candy canes, if Bruce were here, and we'll have to ask him when he gets back, but whether the museum, you know, is going to be the harbinger of storing those for you know,
yeah,
to look back.
I could see a candy cane, a permanent candy cane installation at the Heritage Museum.
There you go.
Right? You know? Cool.
Yeah, they're working up, you know, they're working up the changes now.
Candy cane garage.
There you go.
Well, we have it's affectionately known as Rat Haven right now, is where the candy canes live. So, you know, maybe we could rebrand the home of the candy canes.
Peppermint oil. That's the key. Yeah. That's how we keep the rodents out of the hangar.
There you go.
And it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the holidays were fantastic again. And, you know, be year over year as we're coming out of COVID, just keep rebuilding it and keep bringing folks uptown and keep getting folks all over the island, you know, talking about making Winterfest sort of a weekend long deal with opportunity for folks to, you know, visit shops and visit community all over the island, right? In Burton and over in Center, and really just making it an island wide deal.
Without getting into a whole new topic, I am curious. I assume you're already starting on the Strawberry Festival planning, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. And there's going to be, we've got really big fun news for the community coming up. I will say that I'm doing a walkthrough in Ober Park this afternoon.
Okay.
Doing a walkthrough with the major stakeholders in Ober Park this afternoon.
Quite the teaser.
Yeah, it's good. I think we're going to have some fun stuff to announce to the community about Strawberry Festival this year. And again, talk about just getting things back on their feet in a really planful way.
Well, you know, one of the things that you guys have done in the last couple of years that I just really, really like is that you've been making it very Vashon-centric. And I assume that's going to be the kind of the theme going forward now, or?
Yeah, and, you know, was just on an email chain with your compatriot, Bruce Holman, talking about how to, in a meaningful way, integrate the cultural history and the history of people on Vashon, and why is it Strawberry Festival, right? That's the big, it's always the question we ask, why is it Strawberry Festival? And there's an answer to that. It's because of, you know, sort of the agricultural revolution around strawberries that was led by Japanese immigrants, right? And that story needs to be fully integrated with festival. And I think, you know, that's the major sort of cultural focal point that we're going to go for in talks with Mukai, and talking about, you know, how we can year over year really integrate Mukai's presence And really just sort of tell, I think Strawberry Festival can be an opportunity to tell the story of, you know, the agrarian work on Vashon and the immigrant community on Vashon, right? So reach back to, you know, our agrarian roots and those immigrants and all of the innovation and culture and history they made here on the island. And then also sort of reach forward and talk about, you know, what is the story of culture and community here today
forward,
on Vashon.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's really a shame. Mary McSuda Grunewald, who was one of the original Japanese immigrants, just died within the last year or so. And I got to know her pretty well. Really a wonderful, wonderful person. Mm-hmm. And the stories that she told about what it was like going to the internment camp and were just fascinating.
Yeah, and I was reminded in talking with Mukai that Ober Park was the assembly point.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right. Yeah. And, you know, there's I don't really know that there's a good faith way to not integrate that fact into festival. And, you know, when we're doing programming at festival and not integrate that history and talk about that and confront that and deal with that.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, I was on the Park District board when we put in the Vietnam Memorial in Ober Park. And that was it was really an interesting process to go through all of that. But I could see us doing something that would be appropriate. Yeah, Kevin.
Well, I was just thinking, you mentioned a memorial, and I was thinking, you know, some kind of an unveiling. You know, doors wide open right now to ideas, right?
So, yeah, absolutely. And I think
remembering that in a durable way sounds like it could be really meaningful to folks.
Yeah.
I think Mukai is, I think you are in sync with what the folks are thinking at Mukai. And it's been wonderful over the last year or so to just see the community blossom again after COVID. You know,
oh,
it's really, there's so many things that are blossoming on the island again. And as we rediscover and reinvent, you know, it's really amazing. I think the next few years are going to bring back even more cultural vitality.
So besides Strawberry Festival, what other big things have you got coming up for us this summer or this year?
Well, we've got the Islanders for Fairy Action.
And
we're going to put out an email update probably this week. But we have met with the Islanders for Fairy Action Committee, has met with Representative Alvarado, Representative Fitzgibbon, Teresa Mosqueda, our King County Council member, and also Senate Transportation Chair Senator Marco Lias. We have met with all of them. And, you know, certainly everyone gets it. Everyone we talked with gets it. They have moved into this is a crisis mode. This is something, you know, that we need to do whatever we can as quickly as we can. I do think there is reason to be optimistic about the passenger boat. Representative Alvarado has introduced $3.1 million into the transportation budget for King County to expand passenger boat service. Councilwoman Mosqueda is very much in support of that and shepherding that, and also an advocate for how can we get wraparound metro service for the water taxi. So, you know, a shuttle to and from town, right? A dedicated shuttle that's boat responsive. And also, you know, what happens to you when you're on the Coleman dock? Are there shuttles that we can get there, you know, directly up to Pill Hill, just running back and forth? So I think there is reason to be optimistic about expansion of the passenger boat. And then Senator Lias has said that he has introduced funding to add a scheduler planner.
Oh.
At WSF, a position there, which is sort of, we've consistently heard from them that there's no way they will look at the two boat schedule at revising it because they do not have a scheduler planner to do that.
No.
And so if this goes through, you know, we won't know our fate until March. But if indeed funding goes through for a scheduler planner, we may see light at possibly getting a revised two boat schedule. So there is forward progress going on and there's some other stuff too.
That is great. Kevin.
Yeah, you know, Amy, I love the idea that was thinking about the passenger-only boat and if it could expand. Yeah, that boat does have a tendency to run on time.
Yes.
And the notion, right, of Washington State Ferries saying we really would love to synchronize our boats with, you know, metro public transit on the other side. But, you know, if you don't run on time, you know, you really can't do that. But the idea that the passenger boat does, And, you know, we have on the island an app, Ferry Friend, right, which basically says, here's your next boat, and are they running on time? Are they running late? Where are the vessels? It would be so awesome to expand that to say, oh, here's the bus that you can catch to get to that boat, so you can take that boat, and here's a bus on the other side.
Oh, that'd be
so
fantastic.
If that app is in anybody's mind, it will be a goldmine for public transit users.
You know, as I've said before, I was a former airline pilot, and I can tell you that dispatch and scheduling are what drives an airline. And without really great dispatchers and schedulers, the whole thing grinds to a halt.
Absolutely.
And I just can't imagine them not having such a thing with the ferry system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just beyond belief.
And the process to revise the schedule is complex, right? It's not just sort of a simple matter. And, the assertion that, hey, we need a dedicated planner here if we're going to look at doing a different schedule it's a reasonable assertion. But if we do get that funding allocated, you know, we need to make sure that we're going to be actually getting those revisions. 5 years is a long time to sit on a broken schedule.
Yeah.
Right. 5 years minimum. And so, excuse me, the other thing that the passenger boat would do is, you know, with that large midday gap or, you know, the 10:40 that chronically doesn't show up, it gives you an alternate way to get to the airport. Right.
Yeah,
easy. It's easy to get to the airport from downtown. Right. So that PO just gives us more flexibility and it gives people more options. And, you know, I think we have some reasons to be optimistic coming out of this session. And we know folks are calling and getting in touch with their legislators. And it is absolutely making a difference.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Kevin.
You know, last show, Amy, we actually raised the question, given this long-term now, presumably multi-year system of just a couple of boats. So what are the creative ways that we can both keep Vashon weird and reduce our ferry footprint?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were saying, like, you know, you could probably fit 8 Segways per car. And, you know, if it's a van, you can fit like 10. So we invite you, maybe not this show, but maybe you should come up with some ideas about, how to keep that ferry footprint down.
Oh, yeah. I have a brilliant vision of just like all of these Segways, these, you know, the limes, right?
Yeah.
Just piling out of like a clown car, like a little Segway clown car.
Pogo sticks would take up even less space.
Yeah.
Up the hill. I want to see that.
Whatever goes.
That's a passport to pain right there.
There you go.
Pogo stick up the hill.
Gosh. So, we're going to have Teresa Mosqueda is going to be on our show. When is that? It's 2 weeks?
Oh, it's a few weeks out, but I'll double check.
But she'll be on the show, so if you want to fire us up some questions that we can ask, we'd be happy to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely, yeah. And she and her team are, you know, they're really fired up to get it done for us. And she has done the homework and done the work to understand what Vashon needs. And, you know, by all accounts, looks like she's going to be a great advocate for us.
Well,
and March 12th.
March 12th.
So we'd originally scheduled Teresa, like you say, Truman, she was going to be joining us fairly quickly.
Yeah.
But then what happened is she got sworn in, and then all of her committee assignments got, identified.
Right.
And then all those committee meetings got scheduled, and it was, wait a minute.
Yeah, okay.
So we did have to, move out a few weeks. So
no, that's okay. That's okay.
March 12th, we can look forward to having Teresa.
Right. So one of the things that I wanted to comment on, the Ferry Action Committee, is that that's the correct term for that?
Islanders for Ferry Action.
I am so impressed with what you guys are doing. And Craig talked about that a little bit, about looking at not just harping on the ferries not being on time, blah, 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 but looking at really creative ways that we can help people on the island. And this whole business of the bus schedule, my gosh, what a great idea that is, you know. But just the myriad number of things that you guys came up with is really fascinating to me.
And that came out of that. Those are island solutions. That came out of that community forum. That report is, it's a big, funky document, but it is pages and pages of solutions. And those came directly from islanders coming together, working together to say, here's solutions to our problems, multi-agency solutions. So we have a blueprint, right, for making something better.
So is that published somewhere? Is that somewhere that can be?
It sure is. If you go to the Vashon Chamber website and you click on the Islanders for Fairy Action tab, or you go to vashonchamber.com/islandersforfairyaction, you can download the report. You can also find our 5 legislative priorities for this session, and you can find our action sheet and information that gives you contact information for all of the decision makers at state and local government we're targeting.
You know, again, I have to congratulate the chamber on the work that you're doing. I mean, the accomplishments, I think, will follow. But you've done a fabulous job of spearheading this issue and keeping the momentum and the pressure on and getting the community to come together on this issue. So, again, kudos to you and the chamber.
Yeah, and you know that committee is just a crackerjack box of awesome, right? So Rick Wallace is on the committee, Wendy Amon is on the committee, Beth Lindsay's on the committee, Cheryl Lubert's on the committee, and you know you put those folks in a room and stuff starts to happen, you know. Yeah. And we're looking at being able to hire the chamber. Vashon Be Prepared came on board with a resolution of support for Islanders for Fairy Action and has stepped up to be a fiscal sponsor for us. As a 501c3 agency. So we are looking at raising funds to hire a director of advocacy. Wow. And, you know, Craig, you hit the nail on the head. We cannot stop. We have to bird dog. We have to advocate. We have to be vigilant, right? If, you know, as all of these things come through and, you know, that person is really going to allow that to happen and really change that capacity, because we're in this problem for years. And, you know, these solutions, the minute we look away, we're done.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I'm just thinking of the lobbying effort that's necessary with the state, you know, or with the legislature. I mean, it's got to be an ongoing process. So you said that you had your annual meeting this morning. What kinds of exciting things have you got coming out of that meeting? Is there anything you can share with us?
Absolutely. Well, the Islanders for Fairy Action, that partnership is really critical. I do think... Strawberry Festival, I am dialing for food. I am looking for food trucks. You know, it's sort of like every day I call a different food truck to see if they will come on out here for Vashon Strawberry Festival. But that, you know, it seems minor, but that's a huge win for Vashon, right? To get some food trucks here and, you know, augment the really wonderful options that we have from island vendors. But I think our vendor program will continue. We're going to have that, you know, crafts focus, arts focus, certainly the island focus, but supplementing our island offerings with some really relevant, fun vendors, that make the festival a little different from what you're going to get on the island. And then we will have a great announcement coming out about Ober Park and how we're going to be using Ober Park this year that folks are going to be excited about. And with the chamber hoping to get some help, we're hoping to grow our capacity to get someone in 10 hours a week. So, we did pass that. We are going to look for a member services coordinator at 10 hours a week, $25 an hour, someone who knows a little bit about events, a little bit about member services, and a little bit about the digital world is someone we are very much looking for, because that's really going to allow us to change the game.
Absolutely. My gosh. Well, that's great that you approved that. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, quick question, Amy, about food vendors and food trucks. You know, of course, there are some food vendors on the island who serve, you know, out of trucks and vehicles. There's some other vendors who are, you know, kind of out of their homes. I'm curious, what's the deal for those kind of vendors who want to be a part of Strawberry Festival?
Yeah, sure. So food vendors, you know, basically the hurdle that we have to clear is with King County Health. That lays down some standards for how the food is prepared, how it ends up at the festival, how you prepare the food on site at the festival, your tent set up, your propane set up. The festival itself, you know, folks are like, well, you can, you know, let's do food vendors here and 20 food vendors there. And, you know, the deal is King County, they've got to have access to a 3-compartment sink. They've got to have access to a hand washing station. We have to be able to get power to them. They have to be 10 feet apart, right? Minimum 10 feet apart with their propane tank. So, you know, there are some hoops we have to jump through to be a safe, sane, and compliant festival.
Hand washing stations. Mm-hmm. Believe me,
good points. Yeah.
Yeah. The Voice of Vashon sponsored a chili contest a couple of years ago. And boy, the hoops that we had to jump through with that, make sure that the chili was at the right temperature. And we had an inspector came by and tested each one. And it was quite a deal.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they do that.
Yeah, they do. They do come onto the island. Yep. And, you know, there's always a temptation to just kind of do it the Vashon way and say to heck with it. And, you know, the problem with that with Strawberry Festival is, you know, we don't want to get on the bad side of King County Health Department. And, you know, we don't. Chamber takes the responsibility with festival really seriously. You know, it is our responsibility to deliver a festival for the whole island. Yeah, it is frustrating because that means that there are barriers to entry and there are expenses associated that we wish we could offset.
Of course. So, Kevin, did you say you had some more questions for Amy, or did you just have some more things to add?
Wanted to shout out. Yeah, thanks for outlining the realities of food service at the festival. And I agree. Yeah, the last thing you want to have is the headline that here's how many people got sick.
E. coli.
At the
yeah,
that would be what we're going for.
That would be bad. Amy, any additional things you want to share with us today, or?
I mean, there always are, but we'll stick with that. We're going to have a lot more announcements about festival rolling out. Great partnership with Zero Waste coming on board with that. So excited this year, really excited.
Hey, did I read this correctly, that the journeymen were people who were doing the trash last year?
Yes, the journeymen. We did contract with the journeymen for waste management, and we are working. We're hoping to bring them back on board again this year to do that.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great organization. I'm really delighted to see them working with you guys.
Absolutely.
Anybody else have anything for Amy before we move on?
I guess I'd say just the only thing, Amy, I know you were spending some time in Denver, and I can say that Denver is the place on earth where I have the coldest I've ever been and the hottest I've ever been. I don't know if you just want to share some observations about Denver these days.
You know, Denver is no longer a cow town. I will tell you that much. You know, I lived, my family's originally from Southern California, and I spent a lot of time in Southern California and Orange County and the Inland Empire, and Denver begins now to feel very much like Southern California.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, though, you get on the, what do they call it, the downrange? No, what's the range?
The front range.
Front range. That's it. I couldn't remember. Boy, oh boy, the weather can change in about 30 seconds there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, folks, they lose folks every year hiking. Lightning strikes, you get in over your head, you know, like people want to climb a 14er and, you know, they think, I've walked how many miles, or I've done a stair climb, or, you know, and it's a whole different thing out there on the front range. And I do not belong to the 14er club. I've technically done the thing, but I haven't gone, I don't know. But Denver is still a playground for the adventurous.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, you know, I at the time I was spending time in Denver, I was also spending time on the golf course. About 2:30, 3 o'clock, you're thinking you better get off the course because, you know, that metal club is a great lightning rod.
It's right.
And, of course, Truman with flying, you know, it was always a bit exciting, you know, dropping over the Rockies into that front range and the different turbulence that you'd hit. So
I have to add a quick one to that. We were driving out of Denver down sort of to the southwest, up into the mountains, and just outside of town. And all of a sudden the hail was just coming down like crazy. It was thick. And we were listening on the radio, and it said, warning, there's an active tornado in, I can't remember what the county is, directly to the west of where Denver is. And just as they said that, we looked up and we saw the sign for the county that we were driving into.
It kind of makes you wonder, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's good. It is a weathery place. We've seen funnels and thunder snow, and I mean, hail closed them all permanently. Right. Oh, hail just came down through that roof. It was a glass roof. It closed that mall permanently. There's stadiums full of cars, stadium parking lots full of cars with hail damage that are toast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used to fly in and out of there.
There was a buddy of mine.
Go ahead.
Sorry. There's a buddy of mine when I was in town, Barry Mitchell. And Barry was a search and rescue guide. and he drove the command unit, which was a Jeep Wrangler. And he talks about going up like these dirt roads, right, to get out to where somebody was lost. And his Jeep Wrangler has got food, water, communications gear, radios, all this stuff in a little Jeep Wrangler. And he said that the thing that made a difference for him was his buddy Mark Petty worked on the suspension of that Jeep Wrangler, and it could go like a race car on dirt roads. And it turns out the Petty of Mark Petty is with the Petty Racing family.
Oh, really?
And he actually had a video of him going around a Laguna Seca with a Ariel Adam, which is basically a street legal go-kart. Right. But yeah, Petty got Barry's Jeep Wrangler so he could fly with everybody else, you know, going out to the search and rescue. And his job was actually to look at the terrain where people got lost and who they were, their age, gender, things like that. And he had to like suss out where do he think they went. And it was almost like ESP, you know, to try to figure out where to start looking.
Get the Ouija board.
Yeah, where can I tune into this television show?
Yeah,
right.
No kidding.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds
right?
like. Yeah. Wow. Well, I've flown in and out of Denver a lot, and you're right. You're coming in over the Rockies. You've got to drop it in pretty fast. And when you're climbing out, it's the same deal. You got to really make sure you're right on the money climbing out of that place. And you do get an occasional ride coming out of there. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, though, one of the worst turbulences I've had in the lower 48 was going into Palm Springs. So there you go. Mm. Same kind of thing. All right. So, hey, let's move on. We've got a number of topics here that we're talking about. I just recently saw this where three GIs were killed in Lebanon, and it was in a, what was it called? I can't remember the name of the post.
20 Tower.
20 Tower. That's it. Pretty unusual setup there.
They say that's one of about 30 of those in Jordan.
Yeah. Or Jordan, not Lebanon.
Yeah, in Jordan. They've got, and I think there were like 100 servicemen and women.
At each one.
Yeah. Well, they vary in size, that one had 100 there. And they're, you know, they're just open targets. That one's way up there just near the border. So there's some question as to whether or not it was really necessary to even have that one that close to the border.
So has anybody heard what the response is or what we're going to do about that? And do anybody have
what
any
would
opinions?
You do, Truman?
I'd bomb them all.
Now, what would you do?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
It's a complex question. I don't mean to sound like, you know, it's all fluffy and gray. But it is a multifaceted issue.
It is. Not only is it a military issue, it's a
political,
diplomatic, political issue that is just mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, listen to NSC, the National Security Council. They're not looking to escalate over there. Mm-mm. Iran wants us to, and they're doing their darndest, right?
Yeah.
But nobody wants a low-level regional war in the Middle East, which is, arguably we already have.
Exactly. And
you got to figure out who's responsible. There are many different militant groups that are sponsored to one degree or another. Most of these ones in Jordan, were created right after the Hamas attack. This is these groups are fairly recent. So once you figure out who it was, what is the appropriate response? Biden this morning did say that they have decided on what the response is going to be. I don't know what it is. We don't know what it is, but it's a balancing act. I mean, you've got people who want to go in there. You have Donald Trump and Nikki Haley, who basically want to just bomb bomb either Iran or bomb the Palestinians back to the Stone Age and glass over that whole Gaza Strip, which does not seem like the appropriate response when you've got, you know, a million people who are non-combatants and women and children and whatnot.
Well, go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I think that I appreciate that commentary, you know, with the various conflicts now that we're all exposed to in terms of hearing them on the news. You know, we also hear about, like, what are the appropriate engagement for that kind of warfare? proportional response comes to mind. Yeah. So, you know, how do you deter without invoking additional retaliatory actions?
Well, the whole thing with the Houthis, where they're hitting the ships in the Red Sea. I mean, we've brought out a bunch of airstrikes to hopefully be strategic in our, very, very isolated and what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, precision bombing. Are they going to hit, you know, specific targets? How do you do
and
that?
Of course, now that situation on the Horn of Africa has been going on since before I retired, which is in 2015. And it seemed like it had maybe been sort of had enough legal oversight and responding to the piracy events to have kind of quieted things down. But it just, I think, shows the wisdom of the administration saying that, you know, when a conflict outbreak occurs, it's not an excuse for everybody else to go pell-mell and do the same thing, right?
Exactly.
And that, of course, is it seems like that's what we're seeing at this point.
All right, so another topic. It looks like that there's a bipartisan bill being considered to both fund Ukraine and to secure the border. And now we're hearing, particularly Romney, I think, was saying that Trump is telling them, no, you can't do anything about the border because I want to campaign on that. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. What in the world? Kevin.
Well, it's really intriguing to me. How do you spin this political story if you're on the conservative side of the aisle? Not only did Mitt Romney come out, if you search for that Romney statement on immigration policy, he flat out says just what you just said, Truman, to reporters. The other one is Langford in Oklahoma, who worked on the bipartisan group who was trying to put together a border policy. And this is where Lucy pulls the football out from underneath Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
It's like, I think they were really seriously thinking they could make some good things happen until, you know, the former guy comes along and says, Nix, stop all of that, because I want to have that platform to run on. And I think Langford, not only he got chastised, I think censured by the
Oklahoma
one party
legislator.
Of the in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. It was the Oklahoma Republican Party censures him, but the Oklahoma GOP State Committee rescinds the census. So, you know, they're going to now be at loggerheads over who's in charge.
This reminds me of the when we had the embassy was taken over in
Tehran.
In Iran. Yeah. And wasn't it Nixon that kind of nixed the effort that...
Reagan.
Oh, no, Reagan. That's right. It was Reagan that did that. He wanted to...
delay until the election.
Go ahead, Kevin.
But Nixon should come to mind, and given your tenure in Vietnam, because Nixon's strategy was to extend the war so that he had a political advantage. And so, of course, you know, there's probably some fans of Nixon. I know Roger Stone has a tattoo of him on his back, so there's that. But you know, if you look back at people who have really come under pretty serious censure from the public about how they handled this being a president. Nixon did some great things. He did some really terrible things. And it's probably no joke, no surprise that Roger Stone is also advising the former guy about how to do some of these things. And the delay in addressing the border and the delay in taking action on the Vietnam War could be cut right out of the same playbook, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not, it's funny. You kind of touched on it. The thing is not a total palaver. This actually is a little simpler than it sounds. I mean, how to resolve the border issues is not simple, but the fact is that the Senate Democrats and a majority of the Republicans have come probably to a deal, and the Democrats in the House have come to the, you know, are on board. It's the House Republicans who, as Kevin very politely puts it, the other guy has come and said, "Nope, we got to delay it. Can't agree to anything that the anything that involves talking with one another, and maybe coming to some kind of compromise." And here we've got to the point where basically
the Republicans in the House have been told, we're giving you what you wanted. All you have to do is say yes. And they go, now we are going to say no.
Yeah. Lucy's going to pull the ball.
Yeah. Craig, it sounds like they need a mediator.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They need a good beating. No, they need. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then you've got the quote unquote no label party, right? Yeah. That is jumping into this fracas because it's clearly broken. I mean, there is no good faith action right now on behalf of House Republicans in getting aid to Israel or Ukraine, right? I mean, that bill they wrote that had the tax, the IRS, stripping the IRS of funding, right, that they wrote at the behest of QuickBooks, essentially, and TurboTax, right? I mean, it's just when you have no good faith actors, you know, what is a mediator going to do? And now you got the no labels folks, which are operating as sort of a quasi party, almost in the most undemocratic way you possibly could, right? With a cabal sort of naming a contender that could be a true spoiler for the election. I mean, the Middle East is a morass, right? We have our own sort of cultural, political morass right now.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm very interested. As I said, I'm going down to Texas tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with some of my relatives down there to see what they think, what they feel about this, because they're in the middle of it. I know that the border thing is a big deal for my cousin is a rancher, and he has many rancher friends who are along the border. And they really are having an issue. They really are having a problem. And the only thing we know is that Yakima, you know, they're short of laborers in the summer. That's the only thing we know about it, you know. Kevin, yeah.
Well, so, Truman, when you're down there, you maybe can put eyes on this deal where Governor Abbott has decided that his, I think, National Guard troops are in charge of the border. And it's actually the, I don't know if it's in the Constitution or just in law, established law, that it's the federal government that's in charge of the border. And so who knows, right, how that's going to ultimately resolve itself.
I'm really curious to hear what their feelings are about this. It's going to be very interesting, to say the least. I'm going to be very quiet, mostly.
Well, you'd better, because there are a number of posse comitatus that have gotten together. There's a bunch of bikers down there that want to patrol the border for the state. A bunch of other groups that want to patrol the border for Texas, and now there's talk about we need to make the middle of the country the state of Texas, with West Coastistan or whatever where we live, you know, different. And it's scary, actually. Yeah, I mean, that is a constitutional major constitutional issue. I mean, the Supreme Court made it clear here just the other day that the federal government has the right to remove that riprap and that razor wire, but Mayorkas, who is now in impeachment proceedings, has used some restraint to say, let's see if we can resolve this peacefully before the shooting starts. Exactly.
All right, so
Truman, if I could jump in on this
one. Yes, please.
So when you're down there, this reminds me of a buddy of mine who's a PhD psychology, who's an educator at a community college where Susie worked, and he had the psychology club. And one thing they would do, they would go out and visit different groups of folks as a psychology club, and they would visit Ramtha down in
Lakewood.
In Yeah. And he would go up, you know, they'd have the kids around the bus, you know, and they'd show up and they're checking in. And he says, before you go in, the deal is, if you're going in, you're coming out. Out the nose is so Truman. Yeah. We want you to come back.
All right. I'll come back. I'll wear my pith helmet or my whatever, and I'll come back out. Yeah. No, I was kidding about the issue there, but it really is going to be interesting. I think I'm looking forward to seeing a different opinion and seeing what these folks are watching and because it's way different than I told you when the Washington Post came out with that survey, and they listed the five most conservative and five most liberal. Yes. Yeah, and Vachon came out number one on the liberal side. Well, guess what? Number three was Monahans, Texas, where I grew up. That's on the conservative side. So there you go, you know. And people wonder, what's wrong with that guy? You know? Yeah. All right, so what else we got here? I was thinking I had...
Well, there's the whole E. Jean Carroll.
Oh, yeah. There we go. So somebody want to comment on that? I'm loving all the memes that are coming out. The one where Stormy Daniels said, hey, he had to pay me $130,000. And Eugene Carroll says, hold my beer. Which I thought was pretty good. Yeah, Kevin.
Well, I'm, if you take the $83.3 million plus the $5.6 million from the previous lawsuit, plus who knows what's going to happen, in the next 24 hours with yet a third lawsuit potentially. I'm just kind of curious how many millions E. Jean Carroll is going to devote to really protecting women who find themselves in the situation that she was in. And she was, of course, on MSNBC last night, it was Monday night. And they alluded to, what are you going to do with your money? And she didn't come out and say that as directly as I was hoping she would. But my sense is that's definitely on her mind, opening the door to realizing that women who are in the situation that she experienced have not only every right, but now it looks like the ability to really get some retribution for the things that they had to suffer through. So we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, to say the least.
The question always comes up as to whether or not she'll ever see the money.
Yes.
And obviously, maybe not obviously to most people, or some people, but she will see the money if she can live that long. But the fact of the matter is the other guy, the defendant in that case, Donald Trump, will not see the money for a long, long time. He's got to put up a bond or the value of that judgment in order to be able to appeal. So he's going to be out of pocket, which might take some satisfaction in.
Well, and if the other, is it Erdogan or whatever his name is, the other judge, if he comes back with the $370 million, I mean, he has to come up with that as well.
There's about 10 other cases, too, that add up to, a billion-plus dollars.
Well, what's the price of buying the American democracy, right? How many backers can Trump get to pony that up for him for a serious stake in owning the American democracy?
Yeah. I would be real surprised that he would get that support. I really would. I think everybody's getting pretty darn tired.
Although
they
finally asked the ultimate question of a bunch of MAGA and Trump supporters: would you rather have Donald Trump as a dictator for 4 years or President Biden for 4 years? And they may have cherry picked the answers, but there were a whole bunch of them that said, no question, sure. Trump is a dictator.
Yeah, can you imagine? Of course, now those are individuals. This is not the big money people.
Yeah. But if you're an oligarch or your company stands to make $1 billion on war and your ante for that is $500 million to Trump, math works out.
Yeah, well, there's a point. There is a point there. All right. So hey, we're about out of time. Who's the host next week? I couldn't see the list.
Oh, yeah. I'm hosting next week. We're going to have Don Walsko and David Vogel on. And Don is a proud owner of a solar installation on his property. Oh. And David, as you've heard from past shows, is the hopefully future proud owner of a community solar installation on Vashon. And so we'd like to get Don's thoughts about, what his decision process was to put in the system he's got. And hear from David about what his hopes and expectations are for a system on his property.
Oh, that sounds great. Great.
Yeah.
And we are still working on looking at solar at the airport, by the way. It's still in the process.
We definitely want to hear any breaking news on that front.
You'll be the first to know. You'll be the first to know.
Fantastic.
All right, folks. So for Kevin... Craig and Bruce and Down Under, and especially Amy, thanks a lot for listening, and we will see you all next week.
All right, bye now. Thank you.